Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, the show that has all of the glamour and excitement of the actual nighttime Emmy Awards with all the awkwardness of the Seattle Pride Parade, and just as exciting. On the lines tonight, we have one of the head guys from We Love to Interrupt on GameShowNewsNet.com. He is one of the resident game show fans of all time and three-time Jeopardy winner. He was also a big winner on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Block is with us tonight.
Thank you. Good evening. How are you?
Doing just fine.
Thank you for that round of applause. Appreciate being here.
Sadly, it's canned.
Well, you know. But you know what? It's great to be here. I think this is a pretty big week in wrestling, actually.
Oh, yeah, it is a big week. That's why it's a two-hour show.
I mean, you had a lot of moves going in different places, some expected, some not expected, some no one really knew about, as you could tell on the tape if you watched.
That's right. And on his immediate left is the femme fatale of both the North American Wrestling Connection and DTA Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Trista Timpson.
To be back. I haven't done this in so long.
Yes. And on her left is a person who loves his Andouille and adores anything that is not having to do with the New Orleans Saints, ladies and gentlemen, Carl Schneer.
Hey. Been a while, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing quite all right. And finally, just plain old DJ.
Nice to be here.
All right, cool. For those listening, you might recognize that one person is not here right now. That person would be Nikki Hayman. She is currently at a Ring of Honor show. She is trying to snag me a picture of Larry Sweeney, my Jufro brother-in-arms. So we will hear from her later on in the program. For right now, are you four ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
Okay, in the immortal words of Max Kellerman, these four things I know are true. I know that Jim Ross is contemplating suicide after being sent to SmackDown. I also know that Awesome Kong really isn't all that awesome. I also firmly believe that at this very moment, Michael Cole is... Wait, I can't say that on the air? And I'm Robert Seidelman. Let's go around the horn. Thank you. Welcome. Let me introduce our panelists. First of all, Jason Block.
Yes. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Second columnist, our returning champion, Trista Timpson.
Yes.
And our third panelist, Carl Schneer.
Good evening, how are you?
You didn't follow the code, so you get muted. And we have our resident Centurion DJ.
Woody Page is my hero. It's great to be on an edition of Around the Horn.
Exactly. Let's do this, folks. The first word. And the first words are WWE Draft. As everybody knows through countless 3-hour Raw and also about an hour or so on WWE.com, we had the 2008 WWE Draft. Over a 24 people switched brands and with a lot of shockers in between. What would you say was the most shocking move? And let's start with Jason Block.
The most shocking move, honestly, to me, was Triple H moving to SmackDown.
That was really shocking.
Because, as you know, Triple H, both works in Raw and SmackDown behind the scenes, but you never thought that he would actually become a part of a brand. And the reason why they did this is because of the My Network appearances coming up starting
this fall. Oh, that's a good reason.
They needed a brand name, and they needed a guy to lead the charge, and Triple H was the guy to do it. Raw needed, they needed some new fresh faces, and Triple H took one for the team.
I would say that's a pretty good argument, and let's go to Trista.
Well, like, I didn't watch it live because I had to work and whatever, but I thought one of the most shocking was JR. Which, I don't know, it's just, you know, you think Monday Night Raw, and probably the first 2 years that come to your mind is going to be like Triple H and JR, because they've been such a staple for the show for such a long time. So to see him get drafted, and then to see Triple H get drafted, I'm going to say it's a toss-up between the two of them.
Carl?
Yeah, I'm on the JR bandwagon. It was kind of a shock to see they actually picking the announcing here to draft. It's going to be kind of weird listening to Michael Cole on Monday nights now, I'll tell you.
Yes, but didn't... I want to you brought up Michael Cole. Wouldn't this kind of harken back to, like, early Attitude Era, like 98-99 Attitude Era? When Cole and JR were... Cole and King were together?
Yeah, but that was long ago, though. That's, what, almost 10 years? Ooh.
Good point. DJ?
To me, the most shocking move actually was Kane moving over to Raw. Kind of expected a big name in the vein of Triple H,
really?
John Cena, or Shawn Michaels to move over to SmackDown. But I didn't think that they would move the ECW champion over to Raw for 2 years in a row. ECW was already getting buried in the draft because they hadn't received any draft picks, much to Taz's chagrin. And the fact that CM Punk was already moving to Raw, I didn't expect them to move another world champion over. So for me, I think that the biggest move, biggest shock to me was Kane. I did not expect him to move to Raw.
Completely understood.
Well, I also think one of the most shocking moves was the move that actually didn't happen, which was John Cena not going to SmackDown. There were rumors swirling around all week that Cena was going to be the guy to go over, and it wasn't Cena. It was going to be, and it was Triple H. And now Cena is the guy, unfortunately, who's going to be the face on Raw for a long, long time. Wrestling purists be damned, pretty much.
Trista, any final words?
I'm happy Punk is on Raw. That was the only draft I really wanted to see, so yay! That made me happy. I want to see somebody, because it's on us through the time, so... Yep, that's everything. Go Punk.
Final words, Carl.
What was that, Rob? Rob, what was that?
Next topic. Well, it turns out Awesome Kong really isn't all that awesome. As evident on Impact, and plus I also read the spoilers, Awesome Kong went down to Chantel Taylor, who you might remember from last week being picked from being in the crowd. Do you think this kind of makes Awesome Kong look really weak, DJ?
I absolutely do, especially for the fact that when Chantel Taylor was brought in initially, a lot of reports were circulating out of Orlando that they weren't all that much impressed with her. I think that was her match with cheerleader Melissa, if I'm not mistaken. So for her to be the one out of all the knockouts on the
hold team, it, hold it, hold it. After me on that one, because it wasn't Chantel Taylor wrestling with cheerleader Melissa. That was Daisy Hayes wrestling with cheerleader Melissa.
I forget who it was, but I know that they weren't impressed with her initial offering, but they've been much more impressed with the recent work. That's why I'm surprised she got the rub instead of one of the more established knockouts on the roster already, like a Gail Kim or an OG.
Right.
Actually, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think Awesome Kong looks weak at all on this particular issue. I think Awesome Kong is still a monster. I think she's still great. And I think that no matter who defeats her, she's still going to be one of the strongest, if not the strongest, woman wrestler out there, because not many people have seen a 6'5", 275 monster female who can move the way she does, who can go in the ring the way she does, and who can act the way she does without saying a word. How many characters can do that? The only other character that can do that right now in this day and age is The Undertaker. And that is why Awesome Kong will always still be awesome.
Trista?
I don't think it makes her look weak, you know. Not everyone's going to be champion forever. That's going to happen eventually. But with Kong, you know, she's still so strong and she's got such a different look than everyone else. Just losing the title will probably just make it to be a better program because, you know, I find her better as a chaser than I find her better as a champion. So I think if anything, she'll be like the most threatening chaser right now than she was ever a champion.
Carl?
That kind of comes to show you how much I've kept up with TNA lately. I don't think it really makes it look that weak. Just a little wrinkle in their plans and seeing from the creative department there in TNA. They'll just keep going on and on, I believe.
Quickly, in two names, who do you think... You know, first name, last name. Who do you think will take the belt off of Chantel Taylor, Jason?
ODB.
That's three. No, that's one. Sorry. Sorry, it's one. I'll give you a point.
Oh, thank you.
Trista.
Velvet Sky.
Carl.
I'm with ODB.
And DJ.
Karen Angle.
Oh! Good choice.
I'm giving you 3 points for being ballsy.
Gracias.
And by the way, Jason Block, before we go on to buy or sell, we have a stat boy here.
Uh huh.
From Capture Suplex Radio, his name is Josh Henniger.
Okay.
You can catch him on Capture Suplex Radio at WXUTFM.com.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that you kind of messed up on the stats. She is not 6'5", she is 6'1".
Okay. But okay.
So for that, you get muted.
Oh, fine.
It's buy or sell time, so let's... hold on. I messed up the website. For anybody else who wants to listen to Capture Suplex Radio, since they're kind of like an affiliate of ours, WXUT.com, that's where you'll find our show every Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a really good show with DJ Peapod, the coach, and all the other cast characters. So buy or sell time, let's keep it moving. First topic. Well, Night of Champions is coming wrong for its second year in a row. And this kind of has to harken back to the first year where we have to bring up one Chris Benoit. It's been 1 year. Buy or sell, before the end of this year, he will start to slightly be mentioned and shown again. Jason.
Absolutely not. Chris Benoit is a wrestling pariah. You will take this within the last, I would say, not even 5 years. Before you see it within the wrestling community. The WWE didn't even mention his anniversary during the show. There is no way in heck that they are going to do that.
Trista.
No mention. Maybe the odd hidden picture on WWE.com where they kind of get him edited out, or maybe like a small background role. But you definitely won't hear a mention of Chris Benoit for a very, very long time.
Carl.
No picture, no mention, no nothing. They won't even waste their time on it.
And DJ.
I've got a sell on this one. WWE is trying to become a more family-friendly product. They want to present a, not a wholesome image, but an improved image with regards to their shareholders. And everybody knows that WWE is trying to garner ratings. They're trying to... move forward past the Benoit tragedy, so it would be a step backwards in order to kind of bring him back into the fold.
Well, I'm kind of torn between you guys. I actually want to buy this, but only for a slight reason. You don't have to mention them on your live broadcast. You don't have to mention them on the website. Just air his old footage on 24/7.
His footage is now being aired occasionally on 24/7, but and
not
also,
his matches though.
Some footage is though, but I'm just saying also. The Benoit footage is only being aired in complete pay-per-view segments, okay? So I'm telling you that you know as well as I do that the Benoit footage should not be shown. You cannot separate Benoit the wrestler from Benoit the murderer, plain and simple. You can't do it.
Okay.
What? I'm sorry?
Some people can separate them. Like, that might be your opinion, that you're not able to separate Chris Benoit, the wrestler, to Chris Benoit, the murderer, but there have been many people that are still able to watch his matches and not see him as the person that killed his wife and son, but they can still watch him as the person that they still respected and looked up to while growing up.
We need to keep this moving. Next topic. Well, as you know, Victory Road 2008 is coming back along soon, and we're not going to look back at any of it because Victory Road has been mainly garbage. Slated is Booker T versus Samoa Joe, but one of the main problems is Scott Steiner, Petey's partner, who is scheduled to be his partner, torn ACL, out for 6 months. Buyer's still having this a big effect on Petey, Trista.
I guess so. It's Petey Williams, you know, I can't hate on him, but I think he'll be all right. Scott Steiner. He'll be okay.
Carl?
Yeah, it won't really affect it that much. Scott Steiner needs to retire anyway, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, he is getting kind of old, isn't he? What is he, around 40, 42?
He's very decrepit.
Yeah.
Let's show him with these latest injuries.
Ladies and gentlemen, steroids ruins your body. DJ.
Yes.
I'm going to have to sell this one. Petey Williams was great as a member of Team Canada, actually before he joined Scott Steiner, when he took on the definition gimmick. He was thriving in that role before Scott Steiner came along. So I think you can put him up with anybody that you want to put him up with, and he'll still be able to perform like the top of the caliber performer that he is.
Mr. Brock.
I will make this unanimous. The idea is that Petey Williams not only is, as DJ said, one of the greatest performers there. He was the face of the X division for a long, long time and has one of the greatest finishers, not only in TNA, but in wrestling with the Canadian Destroyer. That is just a crippling move. And you know as well as I do that this gimmick will probably run its course in about 2 or 3 months because, hey, Vince Russo's writing it. And then he'll move on to something else and hopefully go on to big and better things. Scott Steiner's a non-factor.
By the way, I take it you really hate Vince Russo, don't you, Jason?
Oh, Vince Russo has ruined my life on many wrestling occasions. Trust me. Hopefully he wasn't the member of the Katie Vick creative team, but God, let me tell you something. Vince Russo's thrown some major bombs over the years and has made all of us wrestling fans suffer.
Well, then I want to introduce you to Nikki Hayman when she gets on the show, when she's on the road, coming home from her road trip. She hates Vince Russo almost as much as you do.
Oh, good. That'll be fun. Maybe I'll call in more often. Who knows?
Me too.
Right on. Final topic for buyers. So, well, as it turns out, we have sort of a rocker thing going on again. And by rocker thing, I mean Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho were kind of slated to be fighting off against each other for United Champions. However, that has kind of been sidelined. Chris Jericho no longer has Shawn Michaels as an opponent because of Shawn Michaels' busted eye. Who do you think will actually be Chris Jericho's opponent for their Intercontinental title, Carl?
Well, the only logical one got moved over to SmackDown. That would be Jeff Hardy. That's up in the air at this point, I believe. I think what they'll do is they'll keep it a mystery and won't reveal until the actual match is supposed to take place at Night of Champions.
DJ.
I am buying lots of wrist tape here because I think it's going to be CM Punk. You move him over from ECW. He's not currently involved in a match. They've had some epic battles since the Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania. So I think maybe you could throw him into this storyline to kind of team with Shawn Michaels in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but kind of help him out, and those two maybe can have work out a little feud with Lance Cade and Chris Jericho moving forward on Raw for the next month or so.
Jason.
Got to agree, CM Punk's the man right now. I mean, they've been grooming him for the ECW role for the last year. I mean, they've been burying him for a long time. They haven't really pushed him, and I think this may be the start of his actual push to make him actually credible once he cashes in the Money in the Bank title case. And believe me, you, the reason why Jeff Hardy was moved over was the fact that he is going to be the... All right, fine, I'm going down. But the idea is it's going to be CM Punk. Playing
and out. Trista.
I am praying to the wrestling gods that it will be CM Punk, just because if I'm watching Jericho wrestle, I can only find him entertaining if he's wrestling CM Punk. And they've wrestled, I think, twice on Raw. I think they might be at one apiece right now, but I'm not sure. But if they are, I think the pay-per-view would be a perfect, like, tiebreaker. And to have CM Punk as Money in the Bank.
What the heck was... Hello?
Hi.
That sound means time has run out for that round. And judging by the points, Carl, you are a little bit short. Any last words?
Rock on. Get going anyway, so thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Carl. Adios.
Later, Carl.
All right, later.
Bye.
Hello, am I on? Hello?
Is that you, VRM?
No, I'm his friend Forrest from last week, or... Hello?
Oh, Forrest.
Forrest.
Yeah, Forrest, I'm going to put you on hold for, like, another... 15 minutes or so we could finish up around the horn, okay?
Okay, sorry.
All right, that's okay.
Quickly, very quickly, when Trista said she was praying to the wrestling god, I thought she was going to say JBL. I was scared.
God, I don't think Trista's that crazy. No, no way.
I thought you didn't go there, Trista.
Canadian, not crazy.
There you go.
There's a difference.
So eat some vittles and drink some tea. Uh-oh. Sorry, Lithium. Sorry, problem. Well, we got two more segments to go. Well, around the horn after two rounds, here's how we stand. Jason Block, big lead, 21.
Wow.
Trista not far behind at 19. DJ was 17,
yay.
And Carl's going to get his freak on. Let's go. Out of bounds. Well, we need to head over to... How about this? Hulk Hogan and American Gladiators. You know, I don't know if you guys know, I'm a huge fan of the new American Gladiators, but... Just for how the ratings been kind of off lately. I mean, for the first show of the new season, around 2.8, 2.9. I solely put the blame on Hulk Hogan. If he hadn't controlled his kid, we'd probably be getting fours or fives. Am I crazy, Jason?
Partially, no, actually. Because people see Hulk Hogan as an out-of-control father, B, a divorcee going through a nasty divorce case, and B, honestly, with all due respect, Rob, the show ain't that good. The show is a great summer show. The pacing is way too slow, and this is my bailiwick. The pacing is way too slow. The events are way drawn out, and the show isn't good. It's not all Hogan's fault, but I would say about 60-40.
Trista?
I didn't really understand the question. Can you repeat it, please?
Is Hulk Hogan to blame for the downfall of American Gladiators?
he could be, you know. Everyone remembers Hulk Hogan from the 80s, and you look at him now 20 years later, and his son's in jail, his daughter doesn't talk to her parents, his ex-wife is banging a 19-year-old, and he's banging someone else's daughter. Like, the dude right now, I don't think he should be anywhere near, like, a television set, let alone the public eye. He needs to take time off for himself, and he's right there doing Gladiators. Maybe people don't like him anymore. I still enjoy Gladiators, but yeah, he could be. Maybe it's the pacing, too. Events are drawn out. There wasn't a huge gap in between from the first season to the second season. Maybe it could only be like a once-a-year thing. It could be a lot of things, and maybe Hulk Hogan is one of the reasons why. Who knows?
DJ.
No, Robert, you're not actually crazy. For me, who is someone who of a wrestling fan who actually had an affinity for Hulk Hogan, he wasn't my favorite wrestler, but I did enjoy him every time he came on TV. So for me, someone that's a wrestling apologist, I'm willing to give people a lot of leeway. For me to turn on Hulk Hogan just to see what has happened so far, it really disgusts me. And that gives me a reason not to watch Hulk Hogan's American Gladiators, nor will I watch his Hulk Hogan Celebrity Wrestling Showdown that will be on the CMT network. I just think the whole audio tapes being released really put a dampening on his legacy and on his image. In addition to that, I think that there are some other mitigating factors, like Trista mentioned. Make it something that's more special. Make it once a year. Make it a bit
of a... Well, yeah. Yeah, Hulk Hogan is mainly to blame for it, but I also like to put a few things on it. They have way too many gladiators on there right now. How many are in the roster? Like 18?
No,
I mean, in season 4 of Gladiators, what did they have at the most? 13?
Well, how many did they have last season? Was it only like 8 or 10 of them last season?
Yeah, 10. At most.
It was a perfect number. And they got rid of Mayhem. He was the only reason why I even watched the show. And he's not even on there anymore.
And on that note, DJ, you didn't squeak past Trista, so you have to go. Any last requests?
My whiteboard behind me, a la Woody Page, is in tribute to Scott Steiner. Hey!
As he gets muted, hey, it's time for a showdown. I couldn't get the showdown theme.
What?
I couldn't get the showdown music from Around the Horn. I don't have their sounds, except for the round end theme. The round end. Anyway, showdown between Trista and Jason Block. Both of you will enter, and only one of you will get to expose your greatness on us for about 30 seconds. You two ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, let me, sorry, I'm a little ill-prepared. Because I got home about, what, 15, 20 minutes before showtime? Right. Okay, first off, Million Dollar Mania. Yes. Million Dollar Mania. Oh, how we laughed at Vince McMahon getting Rickrolled and one idiot leaving his voicemail on and Vince yelling at him. It all came down to a sad tear when the set came crashing down on Vince. Are you going to miss Million Dollar Mania, Jason? 15 seconds, start right now.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it, but what I'm really actually going to miss was the fact that Vincent Kennedy McMahon didn't have the balls to say that we're just ending the contest. They had to end it on a really, really stupid note 2 weeks after a TNA accident actually killed somebody.
Trista?
I'm not going to miss it, mostly because I wasn't allowed to enter into it. And if I'm not allowed to be a part of something, I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to pay attention to it. But I think maybe with Vince being injured now, it could lead to the whole insurance thing or...
So, both of the arguments were kind of the same. I kind of like the first better when Jason said it, so point goes to him. Next. Well, Ted DiBiase Jr. is going to have his tag team partner at Night of Champions, where he'll be taking on Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes. Who do you think he will pick as his partner, Trista?
I can see someone second generation, third generation. Maybe the guy that got drafted to Raw, I think it was. I'm not sure who it is, but Jimmy Snuka's son could be it. It could be D.H. Smith. He could, like, go back to Raw with the trade. It could be, you know, it could be a veteran.
It's got to be D.H. Smith. D.H. Smith is the only logical guy to do it. He is the second generation of the British Bulldog. You team him with DiBiase. You call the team either Generation Next or Second Generation. You got yourself a great, quick heel tag team. And DiBiase's been killer on the mic right now. Let's see if he can wrestle.
You know that would work except one problem.
Can't have Generation Next without Alex Shelley.
No. D.H. Smith got drafted to SmackDown.
So, all right.
Trista gets the point. Finally! Yes, finally! The changing of the guard. Jim Ross is now on SmackDown. Michael Cole has been to Raw. Michael Cole and King have had experience before, but haven't announced the match since 2001 before Waller quit when the cat got bumped. Don't ask me how I remember this, because I don't even know how I remember this. Well, who will work better, King Cole or Fuller Lawley? Foley Ross. Jason?
It's got to be Ross and Foley. Ross and Foley are both old-school wrestling guys who know what's going to go on, and they've worked together. They're friends. Ross is going to be the professional, even though he got absolutely screwed this week by Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I think Foley and Ross, for sure, is going to have the better announced team, but I think compared to their work from earlier, that Cole and Jerry will definitely not be too far behind the best announced team, but will be light.
Once again, both of you said the same thing. And once again, I like it better when Jason Black says the point goes to him. He gets the game.
Thank you.
He's a winner again. Jason, 30 seconds. Go for it.
One of the biggest moves this week in the draft was Jeff Hardy going to SmackDown. Now, as we all know, Jeff Hardy has screwed over his career twice with the personal issues demon. Let's hope that he behaves himself during this year of SmackDown, maybe gets a title run over there, and then maybe gets drafted in 2009, where his push should be for the world title, where he should have had it for a long, long time to come. This is the guy who the future should be built on.
Sounds really good to me. Let me bring back everybody. I'd like to thank everybody for participating around the horn call, Shaneer, DJ, Trista, Jason Block, the
thank
rookie
you.
Won.
Pretty cool. I like that. Got some social skills. By the way, Trista and DJ, you guys have incredible knowledge and good opinions as well. You guys are great.
Thank you. So, as do you.
nice not to be called a fangirl all the time.
Well, no, well, put it to you this way. I know a lot of female wrestling fans who should not be called fangirl, who are actually more knowledgeable than some of the idiot guys who I've sat next to on many wrestling occasions on at fan shows. Trust me on this. And I've been going to shows for about 20 years now. So
I can tell, too, that Trista enjoys the product just for what it is and not just drooling over Tyler Black, although she does drool all over Tyler Black.
Oh, and by the way, Trista,
yes.
Nikki at Ring of Honor will be getting another picture of Tyler Black.
I'm going to be seeing him in 28 days, so I'm pretty pumped up.
And, Jason, you couldn't have picked a better time to come on the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, and I'd like to do it again sometime.
Well, would you like to stick around for another hour or so? Because we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Sure, sure. I got nothing to do. It's Friday night. The Yankees are winning. What else is new? I got time.
And you're also going to like... you're also going to like this. When Nikki gets back on...
Yeah.
At around 10:30, we are going to break down United Champions. We'll have a shot at the belt.
Ooh, okay. Let's see who gets what. Sure.
It's the NAWC Fizzleweight Championship.
Well, let me go two for two. We can say that. Let's go for it.
And what happens is we do a pay-per-view pick 'em.
Right.
We pick who wins. And if you pick right, hey. You get a point. Whoever gets the most points wins and gets the belt. DJ is the current champion. He's won it 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
How would you guys like to break down the draft, pick by pick?
Sure. Okay, let me pull up the...
I have everything pick. Right here.
Okay, let's go for it.
How about the first pick, Rey Mysterio, and he's not even active right now. How about that for a first pick?
That was a great pick by Raw. I think that him going over to Raw brings him a new audience that may have not seen him before, and especially with, say, Carlito moving over to SmackDown, he also opens up the Latino market for Raw as well.
I'll have to agree with you, because there's a lot of people on Raw that, well, Rey Mysterio hasn't had a chance to play against with.
Yeah, I really think that Rey Mysterio going to Raw was a great move, and it'll open him up to different things. You put him in the Intercontinental picture, per se, with a Chris Jericho, which would be really, really cool. You put him in the title picture with, say, a John Cena, who I think is going to take the belt on Sunday. A little early pick there. Things like that.
What do you think, Trista? DJ? Fourth?
I was actually too impressed with it. So.
I don't know. I mean, it is kind of tough. I mean, at first when I heard he was going to Raw, I'm thinking, okay, he's being fed to Triple H, but, oh, that's not happening.
For me, it's a pick that provides a lot of intrigue for Raw because of the new feuds and everything. Rey Mysterio has pretty much been exclusive to SmackDown for a long time, so having him in a place where he can feud with a lot of different people works. Also, it's not a pick that hurts SmackDown immediately since he's on the shelf, so it kind of helps both brands a little bit, and that's why I would like to see Randy Orton actually move to SmackDown. It would kind of provide a little intrigue for them, but wouldn't hurt Raw in the short term either, so...
I agree with you. Randy Orton should go to SmackDown. Another big name that should go. Yeah.
Randy Orton should be going to the release line.
Yeah, well, that I'm with you too. He's terrible. But that's you know. But Ray, good move.
And here's number two, Jeff Hardy to SmackDown.
Jeff Hardy to SmackDown, as I said a little while ago, was a little bit of a punishment, or actually sort of a, here's the deal, Jeff. This is what they probably said, or at least thought. Okay, Jeff, you be good for a year, you stay clean, You do the things that you need to do to make sure that you stay out of trouble. Then we'll draft you back to Raw and then put the world title on you. Because he should have had the world title in his hands by now. But he was supposed to win Money in the Bank. And then, boom, nothing. So, good move for Jeff. Let's just hope he stays clean.
And it's turned out to be really nothing. He doesn't even have a house anymore.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I mean, that's a sad deal on his part. Believe me, you.
Mm. DJ? Trista?
I think it's actually a good move for SmackDown in the sense that the women, there's three people who provide the women and children, but that's who they're there for, and it's John Cena, Rey Mysterio, and since those two are now on Raw, Jeff Hardy moving to SmackDown gives them that presence that kind of helps to build up that fan base. So I'm all for him going to SmackDown, and since I watch Raw primarily, and I'm really not a Jeff Hardy fan per se, he's kind of bored me out lately. I'm glad to see him move to SmackDown, although I will be watching SmackDown much more.
Fourth, are you there?
Yeah. To be honest about Jeff Hardy, I am hoping the change of scenery helps a little. And I don't know if he would have gotten the title right now if he had stayed clean, but definitely later on in the future, maybe around Survivor Series or even around Armageddon. But I don't know. I mean, I do think he's right. They're going to wait probably a year before they do anything with him in that sense, in title contention.
Okay, let's move on to number three. Straight Edge himself, CM Punk.
CM Punk going to Raw was, I think, the most obvious move of the draft, to be honest. I mean, he was languishing in ECW. He has the Money in the Bank, which they've basically been burying with since he's gotten it. He's really not had a true push. And this is the start of the build for him to actually cash it in. Great move.
That was really the only move I was concerned about because I don't have the time to watch Raw that much anymore. When I do watch it, I usually end up fast forwarding through all of it. But yeah, I really wanted to see Punk get drafted to Raw because that way I can see him more. Cause he's one of my favorite wrestlers. But then also I think this would really help him with, like, the whole mid-card building up as well because, like I said, I want to see him against Jericho at the pay-per-view because those two always have great matches, and if he loses there, then he's on Raw, then they can continue their feud, and then in the future he could probably become IC champion as well as Money in the Bank, which will really build him up as, like, a threat to any title because he would be good enough to defeat all the mid-cards, plus he could cash that in whenever he wanted, so... Right on for Punk being on the Monday show. Looking forward to that.
I agree with Jason and Trista here. It was pretty much of a slam dunk pick. And to use another sports analogy, he pretty much got called up from AAA to the big leagues. And now I think they're really going to give him a chance to shine, even though there was a rumor going around that Brian Gewirtz isn't a big fan of CM Punk. So I hope that the burying doesn't continue and that when he is on Raw, he is fighting some high-caliber feud with the likes of Chris Jericho and maybe a Lance Cade or even like a JBL type. I think I would be okay with that feud. Some contrast and styles there that could provide for a good program.
Horace, our fourth?
Yeah.
Would you like to comment?
Honestly, I would have thought that they would have put him on SmackDown because I think they were going to build him up all right. Not so much with the jobbings of late, but I think on SmackDown he probably would have been a nice fit, but now that he's on Raw, I do see a lot of the possibilities for feuds with JBL, for Jericho. So, yeah.
Plus, it'll provide a lot of things too in the way that of the Money in the Bank briefcases that have been cashed in, Edge used it to defeat John Cena. Rob Van Dam used it to defeat John Cena. If John Cena again becomes the champ, which a lot of people believe that he will be on Raw, it'll lead to a lot of speculation over the next year when's Punk going to cash in the briefcase? When's he going to take out Cena at his most vulnerable moment? So I think that'll be fun to kind of watch, too, as the summer winds on.
I think that's a really good point. And let's go to number four. Wait, here's... I want to mention something about... we have the chat room open. And we have this comment from Edgehead. For a Punk and Orton angle. Punk injures Orton, but Punk has no insurance. So for Punk's punishment, he has to become Orton's butler.
God, jeez.
Vince Russo at his finest. Number four, Matt Hardy. The ECW.
This is one of those things where it's sort of a good news, bad news sort of thing. The bad news is he's moved to ECW. The good news is that Matt Hardy is going to be one of the... Because we all know ECW is a developmental territory now for the WWE. He's going to be one of those older guys who they put younger guys in to help work. I think this is going to be a good move for Matt. And since the Raw is going to be teamed with ECW, you're going to see him a lot on Raw as well. Good move overall. Not great, but good.
For me, I've got two things. Number one, a lot of people, when Hart Boys went their separate ways, a lot of people expected Jeff to be the one to be the main event level guy and Matt Hardy to kind of flurry about the mid-card. So even though he is on the C show in ECW, he still gets to be a main event guy on that brand. Another thing that I liked about this is with the drafting of Jeff Hardy to SmackDown, even the overtones were felt on Monday Night Raw when they teamed together, and a lot of people would have been clamoring for a Hardy Boys reunion. We're past the point now where the Hardy Boys are going to be a regular tag team. That would have been like a shit hanging over SmackDown, so I'm glad that they separated the two and let them continue their singles push, however far that'll take them.
Honestly, if Matt is going to continue doing a lot of the U.S. title stuff, mainly on SmackDown, then it doesn't really make sense that the only pick they got, and all it is just his bio's moved to a new part of the site and a new graphic under his name when he enters, you know?
Trista?
I don't watch ECW, and I'm not a fan of Matt Hardy, so this draft pick does not affect me in any way.
Five and six we're going to bundle, and we already talked about this earlier in the show. Jim Ross and Michael Cole switch brands. Hate to say it, but I think this improves both people.
Actually, I agree with you totally, and I'll tell you why. Because Jim Ross is one of the names that they need for when My Network, because My Network, as you know, has less coverage than WB does. So they need a huge name to attract viewers, outside of the fact that hopefully they'll get good wrestling storylines. Jim Ross going to SmackDown, especially teaming with Foley, is going to be fantastic stuff. Michael Cole has been given now the ball to run with Waller. Okay, you've been the B-card guy for a long time. Let's see what you can do. And I think this is going to make for some interesting television over the next few weeks. I was just hoping for Adam Lee to team somewhere, but I guess we could all dream, can't we?
Oh, you don't know how bad I wanted Adam Lee to go to SmackDown.
Oh, that would have been hilarious. But no, all joking aside, this is good for both guys.
Right.
Really good. Although I really think that Vince should have at least had the courtesy to tell Jim Ross he was doing this. I think that was dumb. I really do.
Right. I think this was a shock to everybody.
Yep.
This reeks to me. Not of awesomeness in the way that Christian would say, but it actually smells kind of fishy to me. I actually think it's a big work. I actually think that the whole... The switch itself is going to go down and it's going to continue for some time. But I think that the betting on JR's blog and all the stuff about a backstage confrontation. I think it's all a big work. I think JR is upset. I think he didn't want to leave Raw. He didn't really want to move to SmackDown. But I think that that happened. He was informed of this weeks ago. I think he was kept in the loop. And contrary to popular belief, I think this is a work, and I think that all the stuff that went out was kind of mandated by Vince. And but anyway, with regards to the actual move itself, I would like a JR Mick Foley tandem. And a lot of people don't like Michael Cole. I really don't see anything all that wrong with him. I'd like to see what he can do with the King, but I just hope that the King doesn't belittle him while on air. I kind of got the sense that that's what he was kind of doing with Michael Cole, like saying, you're not anywhere near JR, and he kind of, like, disrespected him. His tone was kind of disrespectful. I don't know how to explain it, but it didn't seem like those two were on the same page. So I hope, hopefully if they work on the same page, if they're more professional, it'll be good for all parties involved.
When I saw these two drafted, I actually, like, my heart, as corny as it sounds, like, I actually kind of broke a bit, right? Because I'm so used to hearing JR and the King on Monday nights when I do watch it. But then, like, I kind of remember that when I first started watching wrestling, it was Cole and King that was the commentary. So I was kind of happy that Cole came back to Raw. But then you hear him, and he calls every SmackDown but two. And, like, when it's something like that, you know, you kind of get the sense that, like, SmackDown was him. Like, that was his show. When you SmackDown, you know, I think Michael Cole is the commentator. And then that just got taken away because then they had a switch. And then everyone's so used to hearing JR on Raw all the time. Like, it's going to be weird to adjust to it again. But I think with the JR thing, I think they need that, like, distinctive voice if someone were to channel surf and then be like, oh, hey, that's JR calling the match. And then maybe then they would stop and watch it, and then everyone knows Foley as well. So, but those were, like, the really two draft picks that when I saw, I was just like, oh, those poor guys. Like, I don't know. I thought it was really sad because, yeah, that's so good. I'm going to get all emotional.
And it also happened when the match where Melina fractured her heel in the same way as well. And she's out for, what, 6 months?
Yeah, she needs to get surgery.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
a dent in the Raw women's division.
And she didn't look like she landed wrong, to be honest. You know? You know, I mean, it just it was a bad break.
So are you blaming all this on Melina?
No. I'm blaming it on Vince McMahon. But it was just... very good, very good. I was just saying it was a very, very, very bad break for her.
There's a note here that Melina fractured her heel by becoming a face.
Oh, man.
We have a sound for this. You're going to like this one, Jason.
Go for it. Woo! Beautiful. Thank you.
I would have figured in her honor we could do the Volkswagen. Oh, snap.
We also have other sounds for it. Do I still have my dragon? Yes. I also have a pet on this show.
So.
You might remember the sound effect, Jason.
Okay.
It's from one of the... Oh. If you hear loud women in the room, that's my mom and her friend Cindy.
Okay.
But I want to introduce you to my pet dragon. Wayne, come on out.
Okay.
One of the only good things about Tic-Tac-Toe 90 was the dragon roar.
Oh, God.
And the actual look of the dragon.
Okay. I think the next pick should be up. Yeah. I think this has deteriorated a little bit.
Don't worry, we do this from time to time, but it brings out the levity in the show.
Okay.
Batista, pick number 7.
Batista. Well, you know, he's back with he's back on the brand that brought him, if you remember from Evolution. I think this is a great deal because I think Batista, A, looks really, really good. He doesn't look amazingly jacked. Number two, his program with The Undertaker last year was absolutely freaking phenomenal. Unbelievable stuff. and I think he is now in the title picture, and I hope this is the start of a really kick-ass Batista heel turn, because his facial expressions, his work on the stick, he's matured, in, and I think a great Batista heel run right now was in the picture, and that would be great.
Agree. I would love to see Batista in that role. For me, I would like to actually see him team up with Hunter. I think we got that on SmackDown the night. I didn't tune in because I was at work. But I would like to see him kind of reform part of Evolution with Randy Orton. I think they could do a lot. And I think that those seeds were planted at, was it One Night Stand or Judgment Day? I don't know which pay-per-view it was. But they kind of had a backstage confrontation. I'd like to see that kind of go somewhere. I think that would be good for both of them.
And that sound means we have a new caller. Caller, hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
It's Chibi Diablo.
Oh, the Brit.
The rescuer of many a show.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
My heart just
gifted. Sister, how you doing, girl?
The North American Wrestling Connection has gone international.
Oh, it's gone all kinds of international. You got Canada going. You got USA going. And you're over here, England. Here we go. Sister.
Yes, all we need is Gordon Ramsay so he can get a fucking word in each ways.
Well, not that bad.
Pick 8.
Thoughts on a supplemental draft.
Right.
From an
Pick
English
8.
Perspective, Harry Smith.
Right. The land of pure, the land of pure wrestling. They brought us Davey Boy Smith, William Regal, Dave Taylor.
Well, Dave Taylor's Irish, but whatever, you know.
And here's Pick 8.
What do you think, son?
Oh, I'm going to do this in my best William Regal impersonation.
Oh, manga?
You manga! Yeah, you manga.
Umaga going to SmackDown to Raw again was another, like, no-brainer pick. He was being languished. I think he will go as a great monster right now if they really build him back up to be so. Can you imagine, say, an Umaga Undertaker match? Yes, he's coming back, folks. Come on, you know that, and we know
well,
that.
Well, the thing with Umaga on SmackDown, he's got the whole mid-card for him to run through.
Yeah.
So you can't build him up to take out an Undertaker, or you can take him out on a... Not Triple H so much, because you had Triple H last year, but... If needs be and he wants to go face, he could take out an Edge and he could take out a Vicky Guerrero. And let's be honest, the crowd would pop huge for Umaga taking out Vicky Guerrero. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. That's a great idea. But I'm saying right now, I think at the moment, he should be a heel and just decimate
people. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right now, and then just at the moment, turn him maybe Royal Rumble time, maybe. Something like that, maybe. Who knows? But right
but
now,
who is the smack card? Who is the SmackDown mid card for him to run through? That is anyone important?
Yep.
Who's there face wise? SmackDown mid card for him to run through?
Not many right now.
There's no one. There's really
well,
no one.
Maybe Ken Kennedy. We'll get.
Yeah, but you've brought them both over. You're not going to jump Kennedy out straight away. The someone that also came from Raw. Who is there for Umaga to run through up until?
Okay, completely off topic, but Chibi, can you
Hello.
Say hockey for me?
Pardon?
Can you say hockey?
Hockey? Just because it's dropping H doesn't mean you're better than me.
Hockey, what? What show am I on?
Young
Let's
sister,
move on to pick 9.
Young sister has a thing about me dropping me H's when I speak. Singer, keep on with your show.
Alright.
Also,
thank
bear
you,
in mind, it's costing like a pound a minute. Let's keep going.
Pick 9. How about.
What?
See No Evil. Or Jason Goodnight. Oh, I mean Kane. Sorry, Kane.
What up?
Kane going from Raw to ECW tells you one thing. He ain't going to be the ECW champion come Night of Champions, that's for sure.
Do you think?
Alright.
Do you think they're putting on a mark on me?
And I think that I don't like this. I really don't. I think
who's he putting on?
I don't think Kane on Raw. I mean, I think he's going to be lost in the shuffle on this.
Sigma.
Monday
morning. Monday morning. Who's winning ECW title?
I agree with Jason here because I think Kane at the end of the road. Anyway, I think he really wants to do something else besides wrestling, and that was acknowledged in the past year. So I think he's kind of finishing up. So for him to move back to Raw, where there's really not going to be much for him, I liked him on ECW as a top of the card type guy to have a title, world title reign, even though it's the ECW title belt. So for him to move back to Raw is kind of puzzling. But again, Raw's the A show. They want him to bring over guys who were in the middle
Sigma,
so that they can help bolster the top of that roster for ratings. And
Sigma,
that's that, I guess. So maybe that's just the reason they brought him over.
Who is going to be ECW champion come Monday morning?
Mark Henry.
You think?
I'm thinking that Mark Henry.
You legit think they're going to put on?
I agree. They give Mark Henry something to do on his way out. Because he'll be playing out his contract pretty soon, I believe.
Is that just because of the Michael Hayes racism thing?
Partially. I won't doubt that. It's partially the thing, and also Big Show is the face, and you have a series of Big Show Mark Henry matches to go on.
Oh, because Big Face is SmackDown, isn't he?
Big Show's still SmackDown.
Big Show's still SmackDown?
Yep.
Yeah. Mark Henry's the only ECW person in that three-way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you telling me it's because they want it on Mark Henry, or is it because of the racism thing with Michael Hayes?
No, I think it's just because he's the only guy in ECW.
Bullshit. You couldn't have put someone else in that role. That's Michael Hayes all day.
Well, in all fairness, right, for the second year in a row, someone's going to call in sick and Morrison's going to take over in the title match.
Uh-huh. And let's get to the final two draft picks. Mr. Kennedy returns to SmackDown. Thank God.
Almost a good move.
No, bad move. Bad.
No, great move until he moved Triple H.
What? Okay, tell me why it's a bad move.
Why is it a bad move?
Yeah.
Well, because Kennedy at the moment is being seen as babyface, so he goes over to SmackDown. You've got babyface above him, you've got The Undertaker, maybe Jeff Hardy. That was it. Then he moved Triple H in, so you've got Triple H top babyface, Undertaker maybe co-top babyface, Jeff Hardy below that, Ken Kennedy even below that. How is he going to push through all that to get a championship?
Oh, well, you know what? Yeah, Kennedy might get a run there. You're right. He could be a foil for Edge and La Familia. And again, the reason why they drafted Triple H to SmackDown is the same reason why the same reason why they drafted Jim Ross to SmackDown. In the United States, the SmackDown is moving to a new network with lower coverage.
You kids don't know nothing?
I'm sorry?
Right, Triple H has been moved to SmackDown because it's a convenient schedule for him. Now that Stephanie McMahon is having a kid. They only go around the loop every 4 days at the end of the weekend. That's why it's working out. It's easier for Stephanie McMahon to work Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Triple H work those same days, and then he can be on the rest of the week. That's all there is.
That's okay, that's maybe part of it, but I'm telling you that also they need a name for the new network in the United States. The new network in the United States that...
Was that not JR?
Along with JR... Well, JR is one name, I said, but Triple H is the name wrestler we're talking here. And again, the My Network has lower coverage in the United States. I know it's on Sky, right? SmackDown.
Well, My Network's in more homes than the CW is. It just has lower viewers at the moment because it has nothing on those channels.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying at this particular point that Triple H was needed as a star name to go over to SmackDown.
No. Triple H needed his own schedule. Vince McMahon had a meeting on Tuesday night when JR was very upset about what had happened. Vince McMahon turned around and said, well, look at me. I've nearly killed myself in a stunt and I've ruined my son-in-law's life. And every single WWE employee at that meeting laughed their heads off as soon as they said that, because we all knew that Triple H needed to move to SmackDown for family reasons. It's bullshit. Triple H is there because his schedule needs it. It's convenience, obviously, because he moved Batista across, but it's nothing else than that. It works out well for SmackDown, but it's just for Triple H's family reasons. And if you don't know that, I don't know how you fucking host on a radio show.
Calm down, Chibi, please. Please calm down.
I'm calm as the day is long.
All right, cool. Well, that ends the big draft. Now let's get to the supplemental draft. If I could find it on WWE.com.
I have it up if you want me to give you the names, if you don't mind.
All right, where's the... I'm looking on WWE.com. I know I should have saved it about the draft. Oh, I'll try Wikipedia. Anyways, one of the things that I saw was Hornswoggle going to ECW. I think this might be one in a case where they're prepping him to release him.
I don't think so, because Finley is going there as well. Finley and Hornswoggle will still be a tag team and will still be a success there.
I never thought I'd say this, but this is the first time the words Leprechaun and ECW have ever been uttered by anyone other than RVD.
True.
Okay, I have it all right here. Hornswoggle's drafted number 18. The 12th pick was Mark Henry to ECW.
Great move. They really don't have any big-ass heels, and he's the guy who's going to win the belt on Sunday. Plain and simple.
I'd actually love for Mark Henry eventually to become, since he's going to be a top of the card guy, you know, I'd actually like him to, I'm pleased with he's developed some pretty good mic skills, but I'd like for
still
him to kind of become the face that he was when he was Sexual Chocolate. Come on, that was such a great gimmick. They need to let him do that again at some point down the road, because, I don't know, it was just great, and I actually think Mark Henry is more charismatic than people give him credit for.
Mark Henry has always been a great promo, always. He's always been a great promo, but he just can't move.
They don't give him the time, though, to speak, is what I'm saying. So they need to give him, I think that they need to give him that if he becomes a main event player. And I just like the him as a face, as the Sexual Chocolate character.
Pick number 13 is, I think, prepping for release, Jamie Noble.
Dumb move. Jamie Noble is going to get way lost in the shuffle on Raw. He's going to be squash bait for Raw people. Bad move.
He may be prepped for his release as a wrestler, but he is a road agent, so I think he is going to stick around. Other than that, I mean, it's nice to see good wrestlers on the Raw roster, so I'm all for moving some guys over to Raw who can actually wrestle.
Trista?
What? I'm cool with Jamie Noble going to Raw, but I just hope he has a good time. Oh, no, they're not doing heat anymore, are they? Are they still doing heat with ECW or no?
Okay, sorry, I'm... had to clamp a little bit. Number 14, the singing cowboy, Trevor Murdoch. I got to say this. I love this move from Trevor Murdoch going to SmackDown.
I agree with you on this because...
This is a great PR move because it's going to fit well with the younger demographic. Although he's a singing cowboy and my network is not a country-based thing, but it's entertaining to the kids. But it's going to be entertaining, and it's going to I think I'll probably put a few butts in seats and put a few eyeballs to the TV.
I don't think that. I think they got Murdoch away from Trevor Murdoch away from Lance Cade, because Lance Cade is now in the lower A list with this new Cade Jericho Michaels Flair thing that's been going on, and I hope, you know, with the whole Lance Cade thing, I think, by the way, good stuff going on with that. But with Trevor Murdoch right now, I think it's a great move going into SmackDown. Build up the Singing Cowboy gimmick, and let's just have some fun with it. Let it rip.
I agree. I like the move because SmackDown's roster is a little bit thinner. So kind of featuring him on SmackDown gives him an opportunity to be seen and heard a lot more. On Raw, after the gimmick debuted, I initially loved it, but it kind of disappeared, and it really wasn't being used in recent weeks. So the move over to SmackDown does make a lot of sense.
Forrest, are you there?
Yeah. It does seem like he does probably fit in more on SmackDown with the Singing gimmick, but I don't know if he's going to be able to. I don't know if they're going to push him there or if they're just going to put him there, have him sing a few times, job out, and then say, it's been fun. See ya.
Let's go to pick 15. Now, this is a good pick. Big Daddy V from ECW to SmackDown kind of fills in that Mark Henry void.
I really think Big Daddy V is the biggest waste, well, one of the five biggest wastes of space in wrestling right now. I think he's terrible. I think he's a big, fat blob of poop, and I think don't really care where he goes, and he's just going to pollute SmackDown screens instead of now ECW's.
Jason, don't hold back. Tell us what you really think about
him. No, I got one thing for you. 1995, King of the Ring.
Yeah,
what happened when he got coronated? ECW! 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 ECW!
That's because they felt he would fit better there. That's why they were chanting it.
Yes. As a member of the FBI.
And besides, with all due respect, this is not your father's ECW, nor will it ever will be, so.
No, it's more like your redheaded stepdad.
Yeah. I was actually in the audience for the very first ECW in Trenton, so I know. Yuck.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should ask for refunds.
Yeah, well, yeah, the zombie. No more, no less. Okay. That was terrible.
Have you ever heard of a site called WrestleCrap.com?
Yes, I have.
I say that for two reasons. One, I rank for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I spend more time writing for WrestleCrap than I do GameShowNewsNet.com. And two, Zombie got inducted a few months back.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And they have a new induction up this week from 2002. Remember when Tommy Dreamer ate a whole bunch of crap?
No, but...
Tommy Dreamer was eating a whole bunch of stuff you shouldn't be eating.
I remember when he drank Undertaker's tobacco spit cup.
That's got inducted.
I remember he put a cup of water underneath, like, a urinal when it was flushing, and he drank it.
Yep.
Oh, man.
One quick point about Big Daddy V before we move on. Moving him to SmackDown, I think, makes sense. Because now he has the biggest boobs on the entire roster.
Oh. Well,
That's exactly what it deserved.
Uh-huh. Deuce to Raw.
Raw got the deuce.
Yeah, Raw got the deuce. That, again, ends the feud that really no one cared about, which was the Deuce and Domino feud. No one really cared. So, and again, this is one of the Lost in the Shuffle draft picks, basically.
Yeah, that whole deal didn't do much for me. The entire Deuce and Domino Untouchables gimmicks really didn't do anything for me. So the only way that this pick actually even matters is if they repackage him as Jimmy Snuka Jr., and I would like to see them repackage Domino as well. Send them both down to FCW and let them work on new gimmicks, I think. I actually don't even expect to see them on Raw and SmackDown, respectively.
How about D.H. Smith to SmackDown?
Well,
Natalya's screwed.
Seriously, though, this is going to be... I think this is a good move for him. This is, you know, you can build D.H. Smith up big time here. This is sort of Jeff Hardy sort of a pick. I think D.H. Smith going to SmackDown is a decent move. If he stays clean and stays healthy, maybe next year he will come back to Raw into something better. But right now, good move.
Mm-hmm.
In an actual pro sports draft, he would be what you call a project pick with a lot of upside, a lot of potential. He'd be the guy that you draft for potential. And that's all well and good, but I've got two words for you. Kenny Dykstra.
Oh.
I felt the same way about him last year. Obviously, he's languished after his success with the Spirit Squad on Raw. D.H. Smith really didn't have all that much success. Actually, he really didn't have any success on Raw. I can't think of anything.
Hopefully, he
got hurt
a lot.
That will be a change for him.
Yeah, he got hurt a lot, quite a bit. Let's see here. We talked about Hornswoggle. How about, I think this is a release pick, and all of you have to agree on this one. Super Crazy.
Yeah.
Release pick.
Get ready for the next 4 weeks of job in there, Super.
maybe.
How about this one? Chuck Palumbo to Raw.
This, I think, was pretty much one of the dumbest moves because Palumbo was actually getting over as a heel on SmackDown. He really was. He wasn't a super heel, but his motorcycle gimmick was working slowly but surely. This was one of those, it wasn't super over, but it was over enough. I think this was a bad move.
You would have been perfect mid-card heel, U.S. title threat.
Well, except the U.S. title is now in ECW, but you know what I mean. But you're right. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. We broke up a tag team. Go figure. Brian Kendrick goes back to SmackDown.
Oh, man, oh, man.
I'm calling out this sound because it needs it.
What the heck was that?
The dragon.
Okay, well...
That's the dumbass sound.
Now, instead of being underused on Raw, he'll be underused on SmackDown, so no biggie for him.
Yeah, and no good here. I mean, I love Brian Kendrick, I love Paul London, but not good.
I think they're prepping both of them for release, and you know what I think is going to happen to both of them? They're going back to Ring of Honor.
Let's hope so.
No, either send them to Ring of Honor... I bet they could get over well in the X Division of DNA.
How would you like Wondrick versus the Motor City Machine Guns?
I'd mark out. How about you, Jason?
It'd be fun to watch. I'm going to the Asbury Park and Hard Justice pay-per-views, and I've seen TNA live. They're a lot of fun to watch.
I am making plans to go for Bound for Glory.
See, by the way, if TNA comes to your town, go watch it. It's a fun live show. It's a really fun live show.
I saw them in Troy, Jason, and it was probably the most fun I've had at a live event in such a long time. The main event was Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe. I mean, how could you top that? And you had the opportunity to meet all the wrestlers, all the knockouts, Jeremy Borash. Everybody came out afterwards and met and talked with the fans. Earl Hebner. I mean, it was a superbly put together show. A lot of action, a lot of surprises. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was great.
I got to see them with a friend of mine at the Webster Hall show in New York City.
Oh, I heard that was great.
That was nuts. Okay, That was insane. The ring was a lot smaller because of the club size. But I got to shake Samoa Joe's hand, and let me just tell you something. He's a big dude. He is a big dude, and he can wrestle. No. I mean, like, bigger in person. I was lucky enough to see Samoa Joe the very first time right before ECW One Night Stand 1 at the Ring of Honor show beforehand. And let me tell you something. He impressed the hell out of me then. He impresses the hell out of me now.
Now, Jason, was that the show where Tommy Dreamer showed up?
That was the show where Tommy Dreamer showed up. And Bubba Ray Dudley called and said, "Fat ass, come on down."
I'm trying to think of the word. God. Hypocritical much?
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. There. I had to pull back on my vocabulary. And speaking of vocabularies, how about one with extensive, prolific vocabulary? Matt Stryker goes back to Raw.
I like this.
Mm.
I like this. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I like this, because I think Stryker could be a good voice guy for somebody. I don't know who yet, but I think he could be a great talker for somebody and actually become what has been really lacking these days, which is the manager. How many really good manager roles out there?
Not many. Oh, by the way, Jason?
Yes?
Be my co-host. How was the show, Nikki?
It was a blast. I really enjoyed myself this evening. Larry Sweeney is God, and I was glad that he yelled at me as well. I'm only here briefly because I'm going to stick around and help these guys get their shit teared down. I will have more details with next week's show. I am so sorry that I cannot stay.
That's okay. And thank you for finally realizing Larry Sweeney is God.
He yelled at me. I think it's only fair. But I hope you guys are having fun at the show. I've had a blast tonight, but I will be in touch.
Okay, take care, Nikki.
Oh, is Trista here? Is Trista
what?
Here tonight? Is Trista
no,
here tonight?
Trista fled, but we do have a new guy, Nikki Heyman, Jason Block.
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
Hey Jason, I'm glad you're taking my spot for me tonight. I apologize that I can't stick around.
Not at all. We've been having a really, really good time, and we've been talking the draft. We've been talking. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about Ring of Honor, and saying that London and Kendrick should go back there.
Well, I can tell you that Irish Airborne isn't that far away from coming back. I saw Dave Chris tonight. He was looking great. He's about a couple of months out.
Great. So, but we've been having a lot of great times talking about the draft. It's been a blast.
Cool. I'll let you guys get back to it then. I'm going to stick around. I'll catch you all later.
All right. Talk to you later tonight, Nikki. Outside of the show, that is.
Right.
All right. Bye.
But, yeah, I think Stryker would be a great voice for somebody. You think, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you, Jason, and I'm going to do you one further. I'd like to see him become the GM of Raw.
Good choice. Good. That's it. That's the right role. That's the right role. Exactly.
As long as he doesn't have to wear those Argyle, as long as he doesn't have to wear the criminal fashion Argyle trousers that he wears.
No, I say go with the Argyle trousers. Just go all out. Come on. If you're going
not to sound hypocritical, but that would make a gay guy go straight.
Never mind.
Anyways.
I think he'd be in, like, a great Eric Bischoff mold. I could kind of see him do that, perform that kind of role. So that's why I'd like to see him in a GM type thing.
And we haven't had one lately. How about a diva switch? Maria to SmackDown.
Ah, the curse of the naked boobies. let's see. Candice Michelle got hurt. What happened to Ashley? Well, you know what
she's been injury prone since the start.
Have you been in it the last year and a half?
Well, put it to you this way. She, well, supposedly she's been doing a lot more things than wrestling on her back, if you're with me. The rumors, you know, she was caught up in that little sting operation.
I think Blade Braxton sang a song about that.
I think they should have ran with it. They should have had where Estrada was forced to resign, a la Elliot Spitzer.
That would have been fun.
Yes.
I like that.
I like that a lot. But seriously, I think Maria to SmackDown, interchangeable.
Yeah, it's a man move. How about Shelton Benjamin to SmackDown?
Oh, bad move. Bad move. I think Shelton Benjamin, as the gold standard, was really moving up in ECW, and to move him to SmackDown, not good. Not good.
Lost in the shuffle again, you think?
I think. I really do. I mean, because I am so high on Shelton Benjamin. By the way, I recommend the 15th anniversary Raw DVD for many, many, many reasons. There was a match on it, I believe, on Disc 3 where he was fighting Shawn Michaels.
Oh, I know what match you're talking about.
And Shawn Michaels super kicked Shelton Benjamin as he was jumping from the other side of the ring and nearly snapped his freaking head off. And that is, he shows how much of an athletic talent he actually is. And I just hope he actually really gets his ass in gear and gets something done. I really do. Because I love him. I
would have liked to see him stick around on ECW. I, for one, would have marked out for a Shelton Benjamin-Evan Bourne feud. Shelton Benjamin-Matt Hardy would have been okay by me. There were a lot of guys on ECW he could have worked with in the next couple of months. Moving into SmackDown, he'll get lost in the shuffle. And there's nothing good about him moving to SmackDown, really.
I just hope they don't push him as the race-baiting mama's boy he was in 2006.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, does anybody remember Thea Vidal? I knew you didn't.
I did.
God. Yes.
No, that's because I think I voted for it in the crap for the Gooker Award in 2006.
Oh, boy. But, yeah.
Is that a topic or something?
Yeah. Go for it.
Hello?
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 Did he get disconnected or?
No, he's still on.
I'm still here.
Well, let's just move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
How about Finlay to ECW?
He fills the same role that Matt Hardy does. Old guy who's going to teach the new guys how to work, how to tell a story, that sort of thing. And combine him with Hornswoggle, you got him, you got some good stuff going.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
Right.
And with Finlay with Hornswoggle has actually made him more popular, believe it or not, than ever. I really believe that.
Yeah, and Finlay's no longer in the position where, when he was brought back, I don't even think it was just the reason why he was brought back, if I remember correctly, was just to work with other guys so that they could bring about some higher quality matches for TV. So, I mean, he's already worked with the majority of the SmackDown roster. He's worked with a lot of Raw guys on SmackDown and crossed over for a few feuds. So, for me, I mean, moving him to ECW doesn't do much except it provides him an opportunity to work with a few other guys. And for his sake, I mean, it really doesn't matter that much because he's not in it for really for himself to have a big push. He's more there as a agent and a trainer to get other people over. So it's good in that sense.
I call this I call pick 26 a release pick. Carlito to SmackDown.
This would have been great, except Triple H is still there. you know, I think Carlito's got, as what we call in the biz, the boo-boo face. He's not happy. He doesn't like the way things are going. Honestly speaking, that's Carlito's fault, and I'm going to call him out on it. He's a great wrestler. he just hasn't really pushed himself to the point to make himself noticed. I'm sorry. Just shut up, Carlito, and work. That's my, you know, my theory.
The perceived knock on Carlito is he does enough just to get by. He really doesn't do enough to stand out on his own. Going to SmackDown could be a good change of scenery. He did well on SmackDown when he came into the WWE, but I think moving him to the same show with Triple H is on, and he made the comments about Triple H. I don't see him shooting up the card too fast. I see him working for a little while. The Ric Flair pick for me. He'll work for a little while, and then he'll say, well, you know what, this isn't what I sign up for. And he'll go back to Puerto Rico and wrestle for his dad.
To be honest, for the last couple of months, I was thinking that a lot of his behavior was trying to get fired intentionally. You know, saying stuff.
Bingo.
His merchandise was being put on sale at ShopZone.com. He was wearing the Jobber, I'm a Jobber t-shirt, which is the pay-per-view shirt, whatever it happens to be. So I expected him to be gone before WrestleMania, like in January. But he's still here. I don't think he'll be here much longer. Release pick.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? Layla Terrell.
You know, I like this because Layla has improved a lot this past year. You put her in the women's title mix. She's going to be a great asset, especially with Melina out for a few months. Great timing. Sad, you know what I mean?
Yeah. However, it should have been a face and not a heel.
Isn't
Layla working heel?
I don't know which... Don't know.
I think she is. Final pick. Now, this pick makes me mad. This pick makes me mad because they ripped off one of the greatest things going for ECW today. Kofi Kingston to Raw.
I've got four words for you. Too much too soon. This,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Kofi Kingston, if you leave him on ECW for one more year, he's a superstar, without question, okay? He's your ECW face champion. He's your guy. He's your guy. Right now, that's like a shoot to the moon sort of thing. I know, you know, he's awesome. He's terrific. I love him. He's great. But bad move. Horrible move.
I echo those sentiments, so I'm not going to go any further about that, but I just want to make a comment about the draft as a whole. Looking at each individual move, I actually very rarely disagree with any of the moves. I liked what each move brought to the table, but in looking to the draft as a whole, I just kind of think that they didn't do enough to build up ECW, which disappointed me. They didn't do what I thought they would do with Raw. I didn't think that, you know, moving guys like Batista and Kane and Rey Mysterio as a group collectively would make much of a splash in the ratings. I'm really intrigued, though, with what they did with SmackDown, and I'm glad that they moved over JR, Triple H, Umaga, Jeff Hardy. I think it makes them a lot stronger, and I hope to see that the guys that are going to debut in the future, like Ron Killings, those types of guys debut on SmackDown, and kind of build up that brand a little bit, because tell you what, guys, they need all the help they can get. Returning Undertaker, SmackDown is going to be a good show in no due time, and it's going to go from the B show to the A1, A2 show. So
How about this one? Two guys that should be brought up. How about TJ Wilson? Put him with D.H. Smith and reunite the Stampede Bulldogs. A great independent wrestling tag team who I got wind of up here.
I'll pick a guy for you, and this is a guy who happens to be someone who I have worked with as a ring announcer. I do some ring announce work for a Southern Jersey and Delaware promotion. A guy by the name of Mike Kruel. I don't know if you know.
Ooh, good one.
Okay. Mike Kruel has got the look. He's got the mic skills. He is unreal. Bring him up now. And he also jobbed the JBL one time, I believe. But Mike Rule is the guy right now. Bring him up.
I saw him work in OVW with Vladimir Kozlov and Rocca. And I agree. He's a great heel when he worked with, as the first line of defense, I believe is what they called Mike Cruel and Kozlov and all them. And he had just been defeated months earlier by Matt Sydal, and he was kind of having a little feud going there. So I actually like Mike Cruel. And was he at all teamed with Santino Marella?
Alexia at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, Boris
Alexia.
I think they were teamed up a little bit, and that would be cool. Maybe make Mike Cruel, give him an Italian gimmick, and he could be the guy to go along with Santino. I know that I think they were supposed to bring aboard a bodyguard from Deep South. Not Deep South, but
yeah, Al Barone.
Al Barone, and I don't know where that's gone, but maybe you can bring up Mike Cruel. He's not a big guy, but he is kind of bulky. He could be like an Italian gangster type. Maybe put him with Santino now that Carlito's gone. So there you go.
Makes me wish Sally Graziano hasn't died yet. Has died.
What?
Sally Graziano or Big Val Puccio?
Oh, man.
Anyways, let me get my best voice out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the NAWC Fizzleweight Pick'ems. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yep.
I had to imitate Finkel, which is probably the only good impression that I have.
Okay. And besides, you don't look as good as Lillian Garcia ever will, so.
Or red underwear. Let's start with the WWE Women's Championship, Mickie James versus Kata Lee Burchill.
Mickie,
we start with, we have three people playing along with me, Jason, DJ, and Fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Nikki Hayman not participating this week, sad to say. We start with the women's title match, Mickie James versus Kata Lee Burchill. Who wins, Jason?
Mickey retains. Katie Burchill has gotten the victories over her. I think Mickey retains for a while. Katie does not deserve the belt right now.
By the way, something on the WrestleCraft, on the not WrestleCraft forums, on the chat. We have some news. Mike, upon hearing Kofi Kingston's move to Raw, Mike Adamley killed three backstage workers upon hearing that. He kept on screaming, "Jamaicin' me angry."
Oh. That's good. Okay.
Yes,
good
finally.
One.
Hey, mystery driver, you got one.
Yeah, that's good. Well, give him a ding. That's good. No losing horns there.
No, he gets the, where is it? Ah, here it is. He gets this.
What the heck was that?
Hey, don't tell me you never played Tecmo Super Bowl.
My first video game system was a Sega Genesis. I'm way old school. Sorry.
I got the NES. I got the NES.
All right,
that's
but okay, go ahead.
I had a Game Boy. That was the only one I had.
Oh, Game Boy. Yeah, Fourth, go ahead.
I agree. They've been having Mickey lose by pinfall too many times for her not to get the Duke. I think she's going to win this one.
DJ?
First of all, I'd just like to say, let's make this three in a row, so I just jinxed myself. Anyway, I say Mickey retains for the simple fact that if they're not going to put the title on Beth Phoenix, they're not going to put the title on Kata Lee Burchill.
I'm going to make it a sweep. Mickie James will retain on this one. So far, Mickie James has shown me more both in WWE and TNA as Alexis Lurie to hold that belt with pride again. However, let's be honest, nothing will top her first WWE women's title run when she was lesbian stalker Mickie James to Trish Stratus.
Oh, hello, baby. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry.
That was an awesome run.
Yep. Matt Hardy versus Chavo Guerrero. We start with Jason Block.
I am going to pull the upset. Chavo wins with help from La Familia and Bam Neely.
Fourth?
Right now I'm thinking that Matt Hardy's probably going to get a nice push, a good push for a while, so probably I'd say he'll win.
DJ?
I'd like to go with Chavo here. It's the sexy pick, but I'm going to go instead with Matt Hardy. I think if you move him over to ECW and he's that kind of big pick that bolsters the brand, they're not going to job him out on the first pay-per-view afterwards, so I'm going to go with Matt Hardy.
I'm with Jason on this one. I'm taking Chavo Guerrero to win. Matt Hardy's moving to ECW, and since SmackDown and ECW will not be working together, Chavo Guerrero will take that belt over to SmackDown, which I think Vicky will pull some strings to get him to SmackDown.
I thought they were only going to do the Raw stuff with house shows.
And who knows? WWE Tag Team Champions. Now, this is the SmackDown Tag Titles. John Morrison and The Miz versus Finlay and Hornswoggle. We start with DJ on this one.
I hate to say this. I really hate to say this, but I see it coming a mile away. Finlay and Hornswoggle win. I don't have anything else to say about this.
Fourth?
Yeah, until Harry Smith got drafted to SmackDown, I would have said that Miz and Morrison would have won, but I think Finlay, he and his little bastard friend are going to win.
Jason?
I am going to play against the crowd. I think Miz and Morrison retain. However, Finlay and Hornswoggle get a lot of comedy in this, but I think wrestling will prevail, at least for now.
I don't think so, Jason. I think Finlay and Hornswoggle are going to take this one. You know, for a month or so, have them have a little fun run with the belts. Morrison and Miz will probably get the belts back, or maybe Hawkins and Ryder will get the belts come the next pay-per-view, you know, to continue the La Familia power struggle feud thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Finlay and Hornswoggle are going to win this one.
Okay, we'll see.
You know what I find odd? We had this SmackDown championship match all pumped and nothing.
No, yeah. It'll be there.
It'll be there? I'm just going off of WWE.com. I might have to go off of also Online World of Wrestling, too. So I'll pull that up and see what they got. But let's go World Tag Team Champions, Holly and Cody Rhodes versus Ted DiBiase and the Mystery Partner. We have 2 points going up for grabs on this one. And as you know, the first point is always the tough one.
Who the partner is going to be.
Yes, who's the partner and who will win the match, and we start with Jason Block.
Wow. Okay. The partner will be Santino Marella, and they will win.
Really?
Yeah, they'll win. And I'll even make an even third point prediction. Cody Rhodes turns heel on Bob Holly after the match.
I think I got something up the sleeve for you on that one, but let's go with four first.
I was going to say Deuce was going to be the mystery partner, and ultimately Holly and Rhodes win and maybe lose a few weeks down the line. But that is actually what I'm going to say. But I think his idea makes sense.
DJ?
Okay, I'm thinking outside the box here a little bit. I think that Ted DiBiase's mystery partner is going to be Cody Rhodes.
Oh!
I think he's going to say, "Boy, my partner's on his way to the building," type deal. And he was going to work by himself. And somehow Cody Rhodes cost inadvertently, while we think he inadvertently cost Bob Holly the match at some point. But then we have the big swerve where he turns Holly And Ted DiBiase presents him with the other tag team belt. So I'm going to go Cody Rhodes as the mystery partner, and those two win.
Boy, that is outside the box, and I love it, actually. I think it's great. I think you're right, too.
And the bastard took my pick.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yes, but I got another idea. How about IRS?
Hi, Mark.
And how about this? They win. No, I'm kidding. They won't win.
Okay.
Is that your official pick?
IRS is my partner pick, and it's going to be Holly and Rhodes to win. We're going to get teased with the breakup, and that will actually happen in the near future. How about this one? Chris Jericho versus Mystery Partner. Who will win, Chris Jericho or the Mystery Guy?
Do we have to guess who it is? Who
no.
Mystery... Okay.
No.
Chris Jericho will win. His heel push, by the way, is the best thing that's been going on since he came back last year. I think he has been fantastic as the. Can I use the anatomical word for a detective?
Yes.
Okay, he's been a great as in his dick role. Okay, excuse me. He's been unbelievable. He will win, and they will hold off the Shawn Michaels match till SummerSlam.
I think that's a good idea, but they'll probably have to get the Aaron Connell title off of him first. Fourth?
Unless HBK comes down with an eye patch and kicks him in the face, the mystery partner is not going to win. You know, so I think it's a safe one for Jericho. While it's not worth anything just for a guess, I'll probably say CM Punk. But I think it's going to be Jericho winning.
DJ?
Jericho will win, but don't any of you out there ever cheer for him again.
Please.
Good one. Yes. I picked the mystery guy to win. And it's going to be one of three people.
You're out of your mind, by the way, but that's okay.
Thank you, Jason.
So who are the three people that you think they're going to be?
Punk, Kofi Kingston, Shawn Michaels.
And Jason, they told me I was out of my mind when I picked Edge to beat The Undertaker at One Night Stand. So, hey.
Okay.
I was the only one that picked him, and he won, so Sodom and Nidion to something here.
How about Kane versus Big Show versus Mark Henry, ECW world title? Let's start with fourth.
Henry. I think that Big Show will probably win it, probably around SummerSlam, but it's going to be Henry in this one.
DJ?
I agree. I'm going Mark Henry. Kane isn't going to retain the belt. And Big Show, his ECW reign was kind of a dud, I think. So maybe they'll just try to give Mark Henry the belt and see what he can do with it.
I hear Jason chomping at the bit, so go.
I agree with Mark Henry, but Big Show's run in ECW a dud? I don't think so. I really don't. I think that you have a series of Mark... first of all, Big Show right now is one of the most entertaining big men out there. And Mark Henry is going to be a really good foil for his stuff. And, by the way, where is the Great Khali, actually? Raw or SmackDown?
SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown.
Okay.
Last week he was crushing Charles Robinson's head.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure of that. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So, you know, you put Mark Henry in there. He's got to be the guy. You got to have a badass holding the belt now, unfortunately, and it's Mark Henry at this point.
I'm going to use the Nikki Haymon principle for three ways. Two faces, one heel. Heel wins, and it's Mark Henry. Edge versus Batista, world heavyweight title. Let's start with DJ.
We're going to have one, at least one title change here between the last Raw and SmackDown championships. So I'm going to say that Edge retains here, and I'll follow up with my reasoning after we do Triple H Cena.
Fourth.
Yeah, I'm also going to say that Edge wins, particularly because I don't want to see what Cena's going to do with Big Gold.
And Jason Block.
Edge retains for just on principle because, A, he is the best heel in wrestling today, plain and simple. He is so good at what he does, and he's got the shit to back it up with his wrestling. I mean, he really does. He's just so good. And when you see him with Vicky Guerrero, you just want to take your fist and run it through the TV screen, and that's why he's doing such a good job. He's so good. He's so good at it, and he's going to retain. Sorry.
No. I'm just shuddering at another Edge Vicky love scene.
Yeah, well, it's
Edge wins, enough said. Let's move on.
It's paying the bills. Trust me. You know that. You know why Vicky's doing. And you know what? She's actually doing a damn good job of being an annoying pain in the rear end heel. You can't deny it. She's really doing a good job.
Thank fuck for that. Sorry, I had to use a Ramsey in a few minutes. If I don't use them once per show, I go crazy.
All right.
Triple H versus John Cena, World WWE Championship.
Wait, did you make a pick?
Yeah, I said Edge.
Oh, okay. I just didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Triple H versus John Cena, fourth go-ahead.
Again, I think Edge is going to retain, so I have the feeling that Cena is going to win this one.
And we go to DJ.
Yeah, that's my reasoning behind it. I think that Cena overcomes the odds, defeats Triple H. And getting back to my reasoning for picking Edge, I think Edge retains, and I think he runs interference in this match, costing Triple H the belt, because his reasoning behind that will be, I'm the A-lister on this show, I'm the top guy, and you coming over here, I'm going to show you that SmackDown is my show, I'm going to put you in your place. And just like Triple H ran interference on the Stephanie McMahon test wedding, I think he's going to bring another little video to interrupt the Edge-Vicky Guerrero wedding on July 11th.
No! Not a Triple H-Vicky Guerrero
only
married.
Triple H.
No,
only
no,
if he
no.
Does.
He will show surveillance of Triple H or of Edge and Vicky's assistant.
Oh.
He will not get involved.
Because I was going to say, if he's going to do that, doing the impression to Vicky, he needs to do, excuse me!
And he'll do it too, and the people will go nuts.
Jason, go ahead.
And by the way, that will be the least appealing videotape since the Vern Troyer sex tape. God help us all.
Oh God.
Oh man.
which by the way is absolutely 100% true and scary as hell.
I see Pepper foaming at the mouth right now at that prospect.
Okay. Who was the one who just explained everything about the Edge? Was that DJ? DJ
had.
By the way, that scenario is absolutely 100% on the money. Edge is going to because Triple H is the face, and you're going to put Edge and Triple H in a run for SummerSlam, and Edge will retain that. By the way, through interference by La Familia, John Cena will retain, and we'll have to hear the champ is here. God knows how many more times over the next month or two. And yes, Cena will be force fed down our throats one more time.
I actually don't mind Cena now, you know.
Oh, I do.
Me.
I mean, I respect the guy. I just think he can't wrestle for shit. He just can't. He just cannot work. He is basically the Hulk Hogan of our generation.
Who would you rather have? Who do you think's the better wrestler, John Cena or Randy Orton?
Can I go outside the box and say none of the above?
I like to go outside the box and say Charles Robinson.
Yeah, pretty much. but seriously, Cena wins, and big deal. That's
and I'm going to go with John Cena winning as well. This is pretty much a straightforward one of the most straightforward pay-per-views we have since No Way Out. And I believe that we're going to see John Cena versus Batista feud.
Yeah, that's the more interesting thing. I would love to see Batista as a heel champ and Cena chase and the other faces chase him. Because right now, I think Batista as a heel right now will be kick ass. I really believe that. I think he's ready for it.
You mean Batista in the face this whole time?
Okay, fine.
He's been a tweener for most of the time.
But I mean full-on fledged heel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I think he's ready for it. And yes, Cena Batista will be, and people will want to see Batista crush him. And that's the sad part.
I'm looking through the TNA Impact stuff.
Okay.
And I saw that this week was quite an okay week for TNA, and something's getting bugged about me. Remember back in the day we had Jake Roberts and Rick Rude with Rick Rude going after Jake Roberts' woman, Cheryl?
Yeah, because it was his real-life wife at the time.
Right. We're actually seeing a resurgence of that.
So who's playing who?
Sanjay's playing Rude to a degree.
No, this is all the this is the Macho Man wedding angle times 10. You know, I mean, if it leads to another great Lethal Dot match, I don't really care. To be honest, I mean, we had some really good wrestling this week. Although, if you watched Impact, you saw the wonderful spot that Christian did through the sugar glass table, right?
Oh, that was sweet.
Okay. Now, did you also notice when the guy brought in the towel, it was pre-bloodied?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Sorry, bad covering there, but that was, I mean, that was really, really, really well done. I mean, you're getting, I mean, first of all, Kevin Nash looks 70. I mean, not 50. He looks so. I mean, shave, get a haircut, do something.
Become Oz again, I don't know.
I think we've got, first of all, I loved what Chantel Taylor, this Taylor who basically went after Awesome Kong again?
Yeah, Chantel Taylor.
Yeah, by the way, I love that. I thought that was great. I thought that the Team Japan versus Team Mexico match was phenomenal.
Oh, Speed Muscle is a great tag team. You should see some of their actual Japan stuff from, I believe it's Dragon Gate?
Yes, Naruki Doi in particular, I mark out for him. He's tremendous.
And also, what I thought was also a great match was the Consequences Creed AJ Styles match. That was really good. You know, of course, AJ Styles being one of the top five wrestlers in the biz today right now.
Uh-huh.
He has not wrestled a bad match, period, ever. You know, I mean, it's sick how
he's
good he
phenomenal.
Is.
Phenomenal.
Oh, very cool. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
But anyways, how about Mickey TNA Knockouts, what is it, Bimbo Brawl? Oh, dear Lord. And these two aren't bimbos.
No,
how about
not.
Moose defeating ODB?
Bit of a surprise to me. I actually saw Mickey Knuckles versus Ian Rotten at a show called... Pro Wrestling Unplugged in Philadelphia. Let me tell you something. That's a tough girl. That's a real tough girl because Ian Rotten was hitting her with unprotected chair shots, and I saw her take at least 10.
How about this one for you? Here's a dream women's hardcore brawl match. I think you'll agree with this one. Mickey Knuckles versus Lufisto.
Who?
No, not Jim.
Never mind.
Neidhart.
Lufisto is a hardcore wrestler, mainly out of CZW, mainly out of Japan. If you take a look at her stuff, she gets really bloody, really brutal, really fast.
I actually would like to see Awesome Kong versus Moose, actually.
Ooh, that's a straight-up fight right there. And with that said, we have to end the show for tonight. We might be going to archive if we have enough to talk about. So, for Forth, DJ, and Jason Block, I am Robert Sullivan saying goodnight. Goodnight.
Goodnight. Listen to Heads and Friends on Block Talk, coming soon.
And we're heading into the archive section, and I would like to talk about something. I'd like to, Jason, you hadn't had a chance to introduce yourself to the people.
Well, okay, I am a columnist for GameshowNewsNet.com. I am also a part-time ring announcer for the Funkified Wrestling Federation out of Christiana, Delaware. And also National Wrestling Superstars. I don't know if you know that, Indie Federation, out of New Jersey. I also do a weekly game show podcast called BlockPartyPodcast.com. So that's who I am. And also a four-time Jeopardy winner, not three-time, and a $125,000 winner on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
And weren't you also one of the people who got a goose egg to begin with?
No, not at all. Oh, no.
Who was the one who got a goose egg? I know there was one WLTI guy who got the goose egg.
Oh, James Dynan was the guy who you're thinking of.
Right, James Dynan.
He got a goose egg and then went on to win 64.
Nice.
But yeah, so that's who I am. And also, I've been a fan of wrestling since about the age of, well, I actually went, the first real card I went to see live was Ted DiBiase versus Macho Man Randy Savage in a cage at Madison Square Garden in 1988.
Oh, I think I just saw that recently on WWE 24/7, and I love WWE 24/7 to death.
Yeah, great stuff. And I've been to many, many wrestling cards over the years, and God, just so many. And I've announced a few and all that good stuff. So yeah, I've also run or at least been involved with a fantasy wrestling federation, which is almost defunct now, called ICW or International Championship Wrestling for about on and off for about almost 12, 13, 14 years now. So I have a big background. Yes.
Oh, so you're involved with fantasy wrestling. I have I'm also part of an eFed.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this is different from what you normally do. Where we create our own characters and we put them in various matches against each other. We write the matches.
We come up with the storyline.
Oh, that's what you do?
Yeah, we write our own scripts. We script the matches and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, we book.
That's what I do the same, too. What's the name of your character?
Vic the Rebel Black. He's 6'4", 270. Biker dude from Brooklyn, New York, basically.
Nice. Reminds me of Adrian Adonis.
Not even close. He's muscular. He's more sort of like a motorcycle gang member. So there's something totally opposite of who I am.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Muscular and 270, I ain't.
Mine is, I have two going right now. One of them is Sigma, based off of Mega Man X, go figure. 6'7", round, he hovers around 260, 280 off and on. When he's not wrestling, he's running a production company or playing high-stakes poker.
Don't we all wish?
Well, he's rich.
Okay.
And the other one is a female wrestler by the name of Vile.
Yeah.
Okay. I made the connection. Where's Gene Rayburn so I can win $150 off that show? Yeah, I had to. Never mind. 5'11", 175. Mainly wrestles a Lucha Libre style.
Cool. Maybe we'll have to hook up someday. So what else you got up in the old wrestling sleeve?
what we got up in the wrestling sleeve? Have you ever collected tapes?
Some.
What was your oldest tape?
Late 90s ECW stuff, I think. I don't collect that many. I never really collected that many. I mean, I get a lot of the WWE DVD stuff because they really do a very good job with their library.
Right.
To be honest.
The oldest tape I have, and I think you'd be a little bit envious about this one. Starcade 1987.
Okay.
The one with Double Cage, main event, Lex Luger versus Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Which is probably the only four-star match Lex Luger ever wrestled, and it's against Dusty Rhodes, no less.
Okay.
And Ronnie Garvin versus Ric Flair.
Okay.
You know, which kind of caps a two-month-year feud that they've had against each other.
Right, exactly.
And how about this match? The Road Warriors versus Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard.
Well, two of the guys I like. And they ain't
Road
the
Warriors?
No. They ain't the Road Warriors, thank you. You know? I mean, it's what's really sad is you watch a lot of the wrestling tapes and you see a lot of them are dead. Sad.
Yeah.
Absolutely sad.
I would look through Starcade 87. Not many of them are dead. Michael Hegstrand's dead. Steve Williams is still alive. Buddy Landell's still alive. I think the only one dead off of that card is Hawk. Ellering's still alive. Animals still wrestles independence. Tully's retired and runs a prison.
When you guys talk about wrestling tapes, are you talking about tapes that you've recorded yourself, or like tapes that have been recorded, or tapes that have like are produced commercially that you can buy?
Produced commercially that you could buy.
Okay, because I would say then that my earliest tape that I've ever had, I bought at a Hills department store. And it is Deadly Venom, the Best of Sting.
That's like 93.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do have classic, the WWF classic matches with Lord Alfred Hayes. It's like SummerSlam. That might be older.
Those were horrible tapes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I used to buy all those because my local video store went out of business when I was a young kid. They used to have all those primetime Coliseum home video.
Right.
I bought 10 for a dollar, so I have those floating around my attic somewhere, and I just found a whole bunch of them. So it was like colossal clashes, and it was like Earthquake versus Typhoon or something, I don't know. But anyway, I'd like to say that the oldest that I actually watch and know where it's at is the Deadly Venom Best of Sting, and there are some good matches on there.
Sting's had some awesome matches in his career.
They have the ones that I can remember on there were there was some Cactus Jack, Lots of Vader, who else was on there? Nikita Koloff was on there, Lex Luger. Pretty good matches from his early WCW days.
By the way, that July 8th Ric Flair DVD looks really cool.
Volume 2?
It's called, I believe, The Essential Ric Flair, yes. Basically,
I'm
glad it's not a duplicate.
I'm sorry?
I'm so glad that they're not duplicating matches that were on other DVDs or that were on... I mean, there's not a lot of overlap there. There's a few that overlap, but for the most part, it's new material, and I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Yeah, I
and
believe... I believe the same day they were also releasing the Best of Starrcade as well.
No, they canceled that one.
Okay. But absolutely, that's going to be really, 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 really good.
They forgot one key Ric Flair match.
Okay.
One key one. 1993 Starrcade. Vader versus Ric Flair. That was an awesome, awesome match.
Was that the match where he was, like, not hurt, but he, like, rolled him up barely at the end to get the pin? Or
yeah. After they've been just going after each other for, like, 30 minutes.
It was out of, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, the pin was out of nowhere.
That wasn't for the international title, was it? Was that held by Sting at the time? I those all run together, early WCW.
No, international title was held by Rick Rude at the time.
Rick Rude, okay.
This one was for the world title. But yeah, looking back at that pay-per-view, that was actually a pretty decent card.
Yes, Dos Hombres versus the Hollywood Blondes, I believe. Yes?
No.
Or is that
Starrcade? That was about a few pay-per-views back. I'm talking in this pay-per-view, Dustin Rhodes versus Steve Austin, best 2 out of 3.
Okay.
How about for this starter? Too Cold Scorpio, Mark Bagwell versus Pretty Wonderful.
Who are
Paul
Pretty
Roma
Wonderful?
And Paul Orndorff.
Orndorff and Roma.
Yeah, Orndorff and Roma. Pretty much the only time where Paul Roma was actually over.
By the way, quick mention here. I just want to say I went to, when I was at school up in Columbus at Ohio State, there's a local bookstore called Half Price Books. I don't know if that's in any other areas.
Yeah, it's nationwide.
But, it is nationwide. Okay, they had a section with magazines, and there was actually a wrestling label, and I was like, oh, my God, I was shocked. I went through it, and they had all kinds of old wrestling magazines, like Inside Wrestling and everything. I hit the jackpot. I mean, these were so unbelievable, and they sold them for $1 a piece. I found one with Ric Flair on the title, on the cover, and he just retained the NWA title. I forget which one, but there was one that had Magnum Terry Allen. This wasn't even Magnum TA. It was Magnum Terry Allen. I mean, it's just unbelievable, all the stuff that I found, and it's like it was like the jackpot for me. And that when you guys talk about this, it's just kind of brought up all that stuff. So I've been reading through all those over the past few weeks, and it's just like, wow, it inspires me to go get some old tapes and stuff like that and watch the YouTube clips. But anyway, continue.
Sadly, my video collection has dwindled a bit. I do have some Coliseum home videotapes. I got Battle of the WWF Superstars, second annual Battle of the WWF Superstars World Tour 91. World Tour 92, if you can find that video, get it. Not a bum match in that lot. However, you do have to deal with El Matador Tito Santana.
Oh, hey.
I have some WCW pay-per-views. The latest one is WCW Uncensored 99.
Uh-oh.
Now, the pay-per-view wasn't that bad, just the ending for the Ric Flair-Hulk Hogan match was bad. It was First Blood Steel Cage Match Rules.
It was decided by pinfall in the end.
Yeah. And Flair had been bleeding for half the match.
Oh, man. It was like when if you ever play a game with a kid and they lose, but they make up some rule afterward, like, oh no, but I did this. That's what it seemed like to me. Also, they're saying, oh, but Ric Flair has to bleed straight down to his boot, like the blood has to travel to his boot.
It's like Mike Awesome versus Lance Storm for the Canadian Heavyweight Championship, and they had Jacques Rougeau ringside with the official Canadian rule book. If you haven't seen that match, please do see it. Hilarity.
Yeah,
what pay-per-view was that at? Was that at New Blood Rising?
Was it in Canada?
No.
It's Canada. So if it was, if New Blood Rising was in Canada, I think that's the right one. That's the one where Bret Hart re-debuted at the end of the match.
Nope, that's not it.
Guys, I gotta drop off, so I'll talk to you guys later on. Hopefully, I'll do this again real soon.
We have another show next week, and you're welcome. Who knows? You might, if you win, you might stop by on the next time we do a pay-per-view preview show.
Absolutely.
Thing.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Jason,
yes?
Welcome to the North America Wrestling Connection. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, guys.
All right, if any luck, I'll see you tomorrow for We Love to Interrupt.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.
All right, take care, Jason.
Bye.
Good to have you.
Bye.
That was fun, wasn't it? One of my game show fan compadres on this show.
Yeah, he's a good addition. I like him.
Yeah.
Jason Black is North American Wrestling Connection approved. And thus, I'm glad I didn't play this sound when he was here. He would have freaked. And the reason for that is it's Tic-Tac-Toe 90, and since Jason is a diehard game show fan, Tic-Tac-Toe 90 not really well liked. Especially for the host, Patrick Wayne. If he listens in Friday and we have to play that sound for him, heaven help me. Anyways, you guys think we should end this for the night?
I'm probably going to leave in a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So if
all
you
right.
guys are going to continue, Ken.
Nah, I'm going to head out.
All right.
All right, take care of yourself, you guys, and thank you all for listening to this shortened archive section here on the North American Wrestling Connection. Be sure to tune us in next week where Nikki Haman has two Rose stories to tell us and what happened at Night of Champions. Until then, for DJ, for Jason Block, for Forth, I'm Robert Solomon saying good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.